All right, so Exodus chapter 15, we read the story there in verse 22 through 27, and we're going to talk about that taste of Marah. That word Marah means bitter. Funny that they would come to some waters that were bitter, and they would name the place Bitter. Okay? So they did that. I don't know about you, but I like eating. Amen? I can tell some of you like eating more than others. Hallelujah. We all like eating. I love eating. I love a good meal. I love going to Meemaw's house. Every time I go to Meemaw's house, there's something good to eat. I love going to Firehouse Subs because I will slam down a Firehouse Sub. I will eat it fast and get indigestion, and it's good. I love Chinese food. I love a good pizza. Hey, I like eating. If you haven't been able to tell, I mean, I'm not the heaviest guy in the world, but I certainly ain't the lightest. But I enjoy eating. Certain things taste better than others, don't they? I mean, a good piece of fried chicken, that's pretty good. You know, sometimes that grilled chicken is a little dry. It's not as good as that fried chicken. Now, we know the fried chicken ain't as good for you, naturally. But it sure does taste good, doesn't it? I think about tomato sauce. I love tomato sauce. I love pasta. I can put tomato sauce in spaghetti, and I can have me a different marinara sauce or whatever. If it's tomatoes and it's on pasta, it's good for me. If it's ravioli, if it's lasagna, pizza, of course. I love a good tomato sauce. I also love a good juicy burger. Anybody hungry? Anybody getting hungry? We walked out the door this morning, and Mom says, "You didn't grab any snacks." Remember, we live almost an hour away. By the time church is over, we're pretty hungry, and then there's still another 45-minute ride home. And they said, nobody grabbed snacks. And I knew church was over then. I knew the day was done as soon as they realized they didn't have any snacks for the ride home. I said, that's it. The Spirit of God is gone. They're not going to enjoy one bit of this service today. They're going to be thinking the whole time, especially because I knew what I was preaching. I knew what I was going to talk about. I knew their stomach was going to be eating itself after about 5 minutes. Oh, Lord. Yes, that's right, Thomas. That's right. So a good juicy burger. I like Whoppers. My wife's okay with them. She's not crazy about Burger King, but I enjoy me a good flame-broiled Whopper. Now, I know that it's fast food, and I know that it's not a real perfect burger. So I tell you what we do look forward to is that time of the year when that grill comes out, and you can make your own juicy burgers, right? You can buy the good ones, or you can make your own with some fresh hamburger and get them real juicy. And as you take a bite, it just runs down your hands like that right there. And you got some cheese on it. And I like putting all of it. I like the lettuce. I like the tomato. I like the onions. I'll put ketchup. I'll put mayonnaise. I'll put mustard. I can throw it all on there because it's good to me either way. I think about a good breakfast. I like eggs and biscuits and gravy and home fries and putting some good sausage gravy on there. Man, that's good stuff. I can't eat it as much as I used to, but it's good. I look forward to it. Even a good bowl of Frosted Flakes every now and again. But you know, there are some meals that don't taste real good. There are some cereals even that don't taste real good. There are some drinks that don't taste as good as other drinks. Now, I think about a fresh, crisp salad. We went to Mount Vernon the other day, got me a nice, good old salad. Had the eggs in it, had ham. Had bacon, hallelujah, that goes on salad, by the way, and the nice crisp lettuce and tomatoes and carrots and all the good stuff. A nice crisp salad every once in a while tastes pretty good. But every once in a while, you get a bitter piece of lettuce, and that just ruins the salad, doesn't it? Man, I was enjoying this. I was enjoying a good bite, and what that ranch dressing on there tasted just right, and you get the heel or the end piece of that lettuce every once in a while. It's like, oh, that kind of disappointed the rest of the meal. But it doesn't taste as good. It started out real good, but then that bad piece, that bad taste can almost ruin the entire meal. I may have enjoyed 90% of it. I may have enjoyed 95% of it or 98% of it, but that one bad piece can ruin a meal. Just as much as there are things I love to eat and look forward to eating, there are some things that I don't enjoy. Don't give me no liverwurst. You can have it. You can enjoy it all you want. Don't bring me chicken livers. I don't want them. Don't bring me a piece of liver and onions. You enjoy it for you. I don't want it for me. Now, I don't like those things, but I enjoy Brussels sprouts. I love broccoli. I love greens. I enjoy them. I enjoy those kinds of things. But most folks, when they would eat Brussels sprouts, they don't like them. They don't like the bitterness of the Brussels sprouts, but I enjoy the Brussels sprouts, but don't give me no liver. Of course, different strokes for different folks, right? in life, you're going to have both good meals and bad. It's just bound to happen. You're going to have some days, you're going to have some weeks, you're going to have some months, you're going to have some years, and you may even be blessed enough to have some good decades. But you're still also, as does everybody, have some bad days. Look, if I ate juicy burger one day and a fried piece of chicken the next day and a good solid pizza hotline pizza the next day, and I had me some good crisp salad on another day and I enjoyed all those good meals, and I get one bad meal, in my mind, it doesn't really eliminate all the good meals that I had, although this one certainly isn't as enjoyable. But every once in a while, we let that one bad meal ruin all the good meals we had previous. We remember some good meals, but very few of us forget the bad meals. Right? I could tell you some bad things that I've eaten. Praise God. Butternut squash soup. The worst thing I ever tasted in my life. We didn't even finish that meal as a family. Now, we're blaming it on the recipe. Because I know a lot of people like butternut squash soup. This ain't one of them. I didn't enjoy it. It was nasty. I didn't eat it. The whole family didn't eat it because it was bad. We found something else in the cupboard. Okay? Ramen noodles at that point were so much better than butternut squash soup. Now, there was one time my wife made coconut rice. She has since overcome her tragedies. But there was one time she made coconut rice. I didn't finish that either. It wasn't very good. Now, I've had coconut rice since, but I tell you what, I don't forget that coconut rice. I don't forget that butternut squash soup. Now, I don't want to get you sick this morning, but I don't eat black beans nearly as much as I used to, and let me tell you why. But I'm going to try to be mindful. A couple years ago, I used to eat black beans on everything. You like black beans? Frijoles, is that refried beans? That's refried beans. It's just beans, but not the black beans. The black beans, anyway, we like Mexican food. We like all the authentic stuff, you know, the good burritos and the Mexican pizzas and all that good stuff. But we used to eat black beans on everything, and I eat them just fine. But there was this one day, I went to work, and I wasn't feeling so good. I wasn't feeling good at all. Matter of fact, I only went to work because I absolutely had something that needed to get done. And I wasn't there but about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I needed a trash can. And everything in that trash can was black beans. I'm going to tell you what. I think since then, which was what, 5, 6 years ago, I might have eaten black beans a handful of times. Maybe. But I'm fine with black beans. I enjoy black beans, but I have a bad experience with black beans. Now, not saying that they're bad, not saying that they're nasty, but I remember those black beans. And every time I see them, I remember when there was a time where I wasn't having such a good day with black beans. And I also remember my fried chicken, and I remember pizza, and I know which pizza places are good and which pizza places are not good. And I know which soups are good and which chilies are good and which soups and chilies I don't want, because I remember those kinds of things. The bottom line is this. We all have different tastes, but we've all had good meals, and we've all had bad meals. We've all had disappointing meals, but more often than not, we've had more good meals than we have bad, haven't we? Think about it. We don't keep eating the bad stuff. I don't keep buying it. I'm not financing it. We're not going. I'm not eating butternut squash soup, but I've had more good meals than I've had bad. Meals, we have the meals that we have bad meals, oftentimes bad meals leave bitter tastes, and we end up living with that taste. We remember that taste. It's not so good. Here in this passage, Israel had just been enjoying some good meals. They were freed from slavery. That's a good meal, right? They were brought across the Red Sea on dry land. That's a good meal. They're well cared for. But then they had one bad meal, just one. One bad meal, and it didn't even last that long. They had just been enjoying good meals. They were enjoying their fried chicken and their mashed potatoes and their gravy. Now, we know they didn't have fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Stick with me for the story's sake. All right. I know they didn't have fried chicken in the wilderness. I got it. But they enjoyed some good meals. The Lord had just brought them through a number of things. They were delivered from slavery. They were given a new life to live. They were given a new purpose in which to live for. And they witnessed God destroying their own enemies in the Red Sea. The same Red Sea that God brought them through on, they watched them destroy their enemies with. So God destroyed their enemies. Now, 3 days later, God enables them to face one small trial. Just one. It wasn't that drastic. It wasn't that difficult. It was only a short period of time. After 3 days, they came to this place that they ended up naming Marah. And Marah means bitter. They had just witnessed great victories, but now they have a bitter taste. Ain't that how we are? We can enjoy 6 days of good meals. We can enjoy 29 days of good meals. We can enjoy 364 days of good meals. But it's that one bad meal that we always hang on to. It's that one bad meal that we kind of wiped out all those other 364 things. Now, I saw a good sticker or a magnet back in the day, and I'm sure it still exists. When I do right, no one ever remembers. When I do wrong, no one ever forgets. Ain't that right?
Amen. Yeah.
What have you done for me lately? Hey, isn't that how corporate America is these days? Hey, that's how politicians are for sure. They won't remember all the good things you've done, but they'll remember that one bad thing in which you did. And all the things in which they're bringing up that happened decades ago, I feel sorry for all these folks, Democrat and Republican alike. Can't none of them win. We've all done wrong. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us has made some dumb mistake in the past, and now people are trying to bring it up decades later to hang them for it. It's not right. Thank God they don't go pulling in all of our closets. Huh? Well, they're a standing figure. They're a public figure. And they still grew up doing dumb things just like you and I do.
Amen.
Amen? How'd your teen years look? Straighten your halo up a little bit. A little crooked. Leans off to the side. We've all done things wrong. But we remember the one bad thing. While they were here, they learned three valuable lessons. And I'm going to share those three valuable lessons with you. It is in these three lessons that I'd like to look at. I want you to take a journey with me. I want you to just join with me in your mind. I want you to think about Israel. I want you to think about the Israelites. I want you to think about imagining yourself being freed from slavery. Imagine yourself having a new leader in Moses. You have somebody that's going to pull you through the wilderness. And then imagine you come up to another moment. You come up to another time in which you see the Lord pull through with this sea that you have to cross. And you see Lord splitting the waters to where you could cross on dry ground. You're seeing all this happen around you. You're watching the little fish flap in the middle of the wave while standing on your left side. You thought an aquarium was neat. Look at that. Huh? You thought an aquarium was pretty with all the little reefs and everything inside of it and all the little sharks floating around. How about you walking through a dry ground and say, oh, wow, what is that? I never knew these things even existed. They're enjoying that. They get through it. They get to the other side. And then they even see their enemy ruined. All these good things. The Lord has brought me out. The Lord has brought me to this place. And now they've come to this water and it's bitter water and they're upset. And the Bible tells us they're murmuring. They're complaining. Wait a minute. You're a freed slave. You're not in bondage anymore. You're free to go. You can wander wherever you want to wander. Matter of fact, you're going to end up in a place called Canaan. You're going to end up blessed beyond measure. But you're disappointed. I'm so sorry to have to put you through this simple trial. So, every single one of us either struggle with it ourselves or we know someone and we can be a help to someone that struggles with bitterness. So I want to help us this morning. I want to help ourselves and I want to try to give us something in which we can help somebody else. So let's look at what the Israelites learned. First of all, the first lesson they learned is about life in itself. They learned three lessons, three main lessons, but each lesson brought some more learning. The first lesson they learned is that of life. They learned first that life is a mixture. Hey, the weather changes, doesn't it? You know what else changes? Cooking temperatures. You ever had a good piece of meat and then a ruined piece of meat? It happens. There are some times that that steak is medium rare and tastes just right. And there are some times that that steak is well done and chewy, and it's not nearly as enjoyable. The weather changes, but so does the food. Hey, life changes. It's a mixture of things. Life is a mixed bag of good and bad. It happens to everybody. So the first lesson that they're learning here, and the lesson of life, is it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Every once in a while, something's going to go wrong. You've got to expect that in your life. You know that you can't stay on the mountaintop forever. Things are going to go wrong at times. The perception, though, is more vital to your health than the circumstance. Listen to me. The perception is more vital to your health than the circumstance itself. How I'm viewing the circumstance is more beneficial or hurtful to me than the circumstance itself. For example, anybody ever stubbed their toe? Naturally, right? You ever kicked something and say, oh, ow, ooh, ee, ah, huh? Everybody step on something in the middle of the night? Dog left a toy, or you stubbed your toe on the way to the bathroom at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning? Boy, that ruined your night's sleep. Put you a whole 30 minutes plus behind. But I stubbed my toe and it hurts. I stubbed my toe and it aches. But my perception of it is, woe is me, poor me. But if it's in the middle of the night, I still get to go back to bed. Maybe I put some ice on it, maybe a little bit of aspirin. My foot's still there, my toe's still there. It hasn't fallen off. So my perception of the circumstance is worse than what the circumstance it is. I can ruin myself. I can ruin my night's sleep. I could let that affect me. Or I could take some medicine. I could put that thing in some ice and I can give me some rest. How I view it is worse than the circumstance in itself. Now that's a poor example, but you get the point. Some enjoy Brussels sprouts, most don't. But what doesn't change is the fact that they're good for you. Some enjoy Brussels sprouts. My kids were given the alternative one day from their Sunday school teacher, Miss Joan Smooth. They said, you know, how many of you would like to have pizza, or how many of you would like to have Brussels sprouts? My kids raised their hands for the Brussels sprouts. Sick kids. But the point is, they enjoyed the Brussels sprouts. But most of the kids, they don't enjoy the Brussels sprouts. They would rather have the pizza. But the taste buds are different for everybody. Some enjoy them, most don't. But what doesn't change is the fact that they're good for you. Brussels sprouts are good for you. Your circumstances don't change whether or not Brussels sprouts are good for you. They are good for you. They're good for your health. So just the fact that you don't like them doesn't mean that they're not good for you. Does that make sense? You following me? So the perception doesn't change the circumstance. It just changes the view of the circumstance. Okay? So secondly, in lesson about life, life has a master and it's not us. Life has a master, and it's not you and I. When they arrived at Mara, they had that fast forgotten all the good things God had done for them. We often do the same. Hey, there were some good days in New Life Baptist Church. There were some bad days in New Life Baptist Church. Hey, there were some good days in your life. There's also been some bad days in your life. And there have been some days that I look forward to. And there's been some days that I didn't look forward to. We've all had them. But the one thing that we've learned in all of it is we control very little of it. We control very little of it. Now, I can control my perception. I can control my response. But what I can't control is what some other moron has done. Hey, if you looked up to somebody and they disappointed you, you can't help that. They've disappointed you. But what you can help is your perception of them. You can't change the dumb things that they did. You can't change the fact that they made a stupid decision. But what you can change is how you're viewing it. What you can change is how you're perceiving it. What you can change is how you move on from here. You can't hold it up to somebody forever and enjoy life. It's going to ruin you. Bitterness will ruin a person. When somebody lets you down, when somebody disappoints you, and you let that fester inside of you, it is keeping you from enjoying your life. It's keeping you from the things in which are for you, to which you could be enjoying. When they arrived at Mara, they had fast forgotten all the good things, and we often do the same. We get so caught up in the enjoyable moments that we take them for granted. We take them for granted. But then we want them all the time. We want them to happen all the time, and we're upset when they don't. In a time of defeat or despair, we wring our hands and we lower our heads, forgetting that the Master has planned and prepared this journey. In verse 23, look at it. Verse 23, and when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink now, leader? What shall we do now, O wise one? You brought us out? Yeah, we've won a victory. Yeah, we had all these good things happen to us, but that doesn't help me today, Moses. And griping and murmuring and complaining, and they're expecting good things. Hey, you never get disappointed if you don't have an expectation. Hey, let that be truth for our spouses. Don't expect nothing, you won't be disappointed. Right? Don't expect nothing, you won't be disappointed. The same God that is on the throne in the good days is also on the throne in the bad days. He's the same God. Good and bad. Hey, you had a long life. You've lived well on, high on the hog. God has taken care of you and provided for you. Is the same God that said cancer. Same God. Same God that said poor. Same God. Same God that said heart attack. Same God that said stroke. Same God that said illness. Same God that said despair. Same God that said desperate. Same God. But how we perceive it is the difference. Bitterness begins in us when things didn't go according to our plan. Think about it. Why do we get bitter? Didn't work out the way I thought. Didn't work out the way I wanted it to. In my opinion, it wasn't what I expected. So then what happens is the Bible tells us we get this root of bitterness. And it starts to welt up inside of us. And it's there now. And what happens to bitterness? We keep replaying it over and over and over in our minds. And it does nothing but make us worse and worse and worse and worse. It doesn't help us. It festers inside of us. Next thing that they learned in this lesson of life is that life has a ministry. God used these times, good and bad, to minister to the Israelites. What they learned through these good times and bad gave them perspective of who God was and what he could do. We harbor bitterness because we begin to doubt God and his abilities. Why did you bring me to this place, God? Why did you bring me to this place of bitter water? God, I know you saw me through and all those other things. And God, I know you brought me through all those good days. But why now in this bitter moment, at this bitter well, why do I have to drink this bitter water? Why? And God says, I'll show you why. So we're going to see it here in just a second. He showed them why. We doubt God's control. We forget too soon and we doubt too soon. Why do we stay bitter? Because we forget too soon and we doubt too soon. I'm going to show you here in just a second how they forgot, how they doubted too soon. So the first lesson they learned was about life in itself. They learned about life. I want to give them to you exactly here. They learned life was a mixture. They learned life has a master, and they learned life has a ministry. So those lessons of life is what they learned there. Now we see lessons that they learned about themselves. They learned lessons about themselves. You know, life is like one big laboratory. It really is a bunch of trial and error, isn't it? Does anybody know how this is exactly supposed to go all the time? Not one of you have it all figured out. Neither do I. We're trying to figure it out by reading the instruction manual. But there are some things that we're just not sure the whys or the hows or the whats. It happens to all of us. So we have to learn about ourselves. We mix things together and we see what comes about. You ever do that as a kid? You ever did them science fair projects? Anybody ever do a volcano? Anybody ever build a volcano and you pour your baking soda down inside of you, have your vinegar, and you just watch it. Oh, neat. Isn't that neat? Isn't that fun? And then they got different things with magnets, and they got different things with all the different, you know, there's billions and billions of science fair projects you could do out there. But what are you doing? Why? What is the purpose behind the science fair project? For you to learn and see how it all works out. The people who figured out already know it. They don't need to know it anymore. They need you to know it. They need you to understand it. They need you to get the physics behind it. It's in those times of assessment that we make improvements and adjust. Hey, don't we all make improvements in our lives? Every once in a while, you make an adjustment, right? Every once in a while, you say, hey, I got to change up. Hey, you know what? Things ain't working out. That car's breaking down. I got to get a new one. Got to make an adjustment. Hey, them clothes are getting ripped or tattered or torn. Guess what I need? I need some new clothes. Hey, my shoe blew out. I need a new shoe, right? Hey, my health ain't going so good. I guess I better change my diet. We all make adjustments. We all make changes. What is it? It's learning about ourselves, the things that work and the things that don't work. And by the way, your body's always changing. So is your life. Your life is always changing. The only thing certain is change. That's the only thing certain. It's always going to change. I think about Thomas Edison. He said there's 2,000 ways, or he failed 2,000 times in making a light bulb, but he found the one way that worked. And when asked about it, he said, I didn't fail 2,000 times. I found 2,000 times in which it didn't work. I didn't fail 2,000 times. I found 2,000 ways in which that doesn't work. It's not failure. I think about Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln lost 6 elections before joining Congress and then lost another election after that before becoming president. The man failed a bunch. He found 6 ways in which it didn't work. He found 7 in which it didn't work. He lost his mother at a young age. He got fired from a job. But Abraham Lincoln, one of the most famous, if not one of the most favorite presidents of all time, failed 6 times before ever succeeding. And he has this quote, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Well, what is bitterness? I'm no longer enthused. It doesn't encourage me anymore. I have failed too many times. This has won me over in a bad way. So you lose your enthusiasm, so you don't go after it as hard anymore. Hey, some of us as Christians used to be pretty good Christians. And then when God didn't pull through in the way in which we thought he should pull through, we become a little bitter. We become a little upset. We become a little bit less enthused. And therefore, we don't serve God the way we used to. Therefore, we don't give to God the way we used to because he didn't pull through the way I thought he should. Or somebody else that I was looking up to has let me down. Or maybe it was a mom or a dad, or maybe it was a home that didn't follow the Bible according to the way the preacher said it ought to. So maybe that faith isn't for me. So we look at these things in these manners and we say it's not working out the way I would have it work out. So I have permission now to adjust and change. Are you seeing me? So they needed to learn more about themselves. Let's look at what they learned about themselves. Number one, they learned about living for self. Verse 23 and 24, forgetting God, totally consumed to themselves. Bitterness is always strongest when we're focused on us. You will continue to be bitter and we will continue to be disappointed the more we have expectations for pleasing us. If you go to a meal looking for you to have the best part of the meal, you're liable to be disappointed. But if you go to a meal enjoying the fact that everyone else around you will enjoy the meal, you're going to have a good time. It's just the way in which you're seeing it. Walking by sight, not by faith. So another thing they learned about themselves is that they were walking by sight, not by faith. They were looking in satisfaction through the world around them and not in their Lord and their Father. They were looking for satisfaction in this water, not looking in satisfaction of their Savior. They were looking in satisfaction of this water, not looking in the satisfaction of their Father, their Creator, their Master, the one who planned it all. They were looking for everything else to make them happy. They were looking for every other reason to please them except for God. So they were walking by sight, not by faith. Even though they had seen God pull them through, many a times they were still walking by sight and not by faith. We expect something. We expect some job. We expect some person. We expect some moment, and we never find peace or satisfaction there. Well, maybe this house would make me happy, or maybe this car would make me happy, or maybe this much money would make me happy, or maybe this family member would make me happy, or maybe this drink of alcohol would make me happy, or maybe this smoke of pot would make me happy, or maybe this overdose would make me happy. Maybe these things would just make me feel better. And we're always looking in happiness in something else besides God. Maybe the preacher would make me happy. Maybe this church will make me happy. Well, I am sorry. I am bound to disappoint you.
Amen.
I am, because I'm a man. But one thing that doesn't disappoint is God. And one thing that doesn't let you down is God.
Amen.
But when I expect you to hold me up, I'm setting myself up for disappointment. Remember Jeremiah chapter 17? Blessed is the man that trusts in God, but cursed is the man that have faith in the flesh of another man. If I'm looking for strength from you, you're going to fail me. And if you're looking for strength from me, I'm going to fail you. And the Israelites are looking for everything else to please them except for their caretaker. So naturally, they're setting themselves up for disappointment. We'll never find peace and satisfaction there. They were never satisfied. 3 days ago, they were delivered and watched God destroy their enemy. They promised the Lord in song after this victory. When we're in the mountain, it's easy to glorify God. When we're up on high, it's easy to glorify God. But then one little trial and we murmur. One little trial and we complain. One little trial and we start to justify our anger. They look for a place to blame. They harbor the bitterness. When we don't get our way, we justify the anger, and that feeds the bitterness. When something doesn't go the way we planned it, we get justified in our hearts by it, and it just continues to fester. And we just justify it over and over and over. Well, it's okay. I did this because. And we justify. I drink because. I don't go to church because. I don't serve God because. And we justify the bitterness in our hearts. But that's not going to give us peace, and that's not going to give us satisfaction. We are going to continue to be on this hamster wheel that's not going anywhere because we don't deal with it in the time. Bitterness is just simply the continuous justification of anger. The Bible tells us that it's a root. If you think about a tree, if you see a dying tree, you can go up to a dying tree and you can cut off all the limbs to keep them from falling and breaking, but you're not saving the tree. Because it's not the branches that kill the tree. It's the roots. So, on the outside, the world would say, here, let's put a little alcohol on it. Here, let's put a little cigarette in its mouth. Let's pretty it up a little bit. Let's go ahead and paint the pig. Let's go ahead and pretty it up some. But they're not dealing with the root of the issue. They're justifying how they want to feel in the situation. But they're not dealing with the root of the situation. Are you following me? So the root of the bitterness is the problem. When you're on the mountain, praise him for the blessing. But when you're in the valley, praise him for his faithfulness. When you're in the mountain, praise him for his blessing. And when you're in the valley, praise him for his faithfulness. How do I keep from being bitter? Praise him for his faithfulness. So they learn lessons about life. They learn lessons about themselves. And now last but not least, they learn lessons about the Lord himself. What are these three lessons that they learned from the Lord himself? First of all, that he is fully aware of our needs and situation. I'm going to show you something neat here. And I hope you catch it. I hope you see it. I'm going to show you in the Bible. You there? Exodus chapter 15. Wake up now. Your nap's almost over. Church is almost done. Pay attention now, Exodus 15. He's aware of our needs. Matthew 6:32 tells us he already knows. He lived with me in my yesterday, and he's already seen my tomorrow. Think about that. God lived with you in your yesterday, but he's also already seen your tomorrow. Bitterness is refusal to trust God. I'm not talking about refusal to trust man. Refusal to trust God. Bitterness is refusal to trust God. Hey, I've had my face set on other men before. And I've watched those men fall. Some of those men are in jail. But they were men that I looked up to. But praise God, they weren't the reason that I was in the ministry. God's the reason I'm in the ministry.
Amen.
Man will fail you.
Amen.
Other pastors will frustrate you. Other deacons will aggravate you. Other men will make mistakes and put you in uncomfortable situations. But the God of those men has not changed.
Amen.
The God of those men in which you were serving originally, which you were serving and you were brought up on, that God's still alive. Just because some man did something stupid doesn't give us the ability to justify the fact and why we don't serve that God. Because although the man did something stupid, God never did.
Amen.
And God didn't fail us. Those men may have failed us, but God didn't fail us. He is aware. He is able to meet my need. Look at verse 25. Let me read for you because I want you to see it, okay? Verse 23, 24, 25. So follow with me in 23 and then look at me in verse 25. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And here's Moses in verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." So what happened? Victory, 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 victory. Trial. Complained and murmured to God. And God said, "Okay, here's another victory." Any good? Any good? Hey, you may have a bad day today. Hey, you may have a bad moment in your life. Hey, something might have gone exactly not the way you planned it. But God will still see you through. Before the murmuring and complaining, the tree was already planned and prepared. I want you to see that here. So he's able to meet your need. Think about this. In verse 25, look at it. And the Lord showed him a tree. How long does it take a tree to grow? Takes a while. That tree had to be planted. That tree had to have the right soil. That tree had to be watered. But that tree was planned and prepared years ago. Think about that now. God knew that they were going to come to this place in which the waters were bitter. He also knew that they were going to gripe and murmur and complain. And he also already had a plan on how he was going to overcome it for them. Listen to me. The God that was with you yesterday is the God that already saw your tomorrow. And there's no reason for you nor I to continue to be bitter about these things. He already has it planned out. So how do we get there? Verse 26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee." It sounds like there was a setup. It sounds like there was a preparation. It sounds like he had this well planned out years ago. He knew this day was coming, but he also had an answer. He also had a plan. He was also prepared. Before the murmuring and complaining, the tree was already planned and prepared. And Psalm 1, the tree that bringeth forth fruit in this season. Bible says in Psalm 1 that there's a tree that bringeth forth fruit in his season. There's a time and there's a place in which that tree is going to be used exactly how God wanted to use it. There is going to be a time and a place in your life that God will use you exactly how he wants to use you when he wants to use you. And it's our job to follow the path to be in that place at that time. So we do that by following him. God has already provided. Think about the tree that Moses threw in the water. It was planted years ago. It wasn't until God needed it that the right man came along and used it for its intended purpose. your tree is already planted. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come up on the horizon, but I do know your tree is already planted. I do know, I don't know about tomorrow, but I do know who holds my hand. You guys know that song? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry or the future, for I know what Jesus said, that today he walks beside me, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. That's faith. That's faith. Your tree is already planted. You will never face a need that God hasn't already met. You're never going to face something that God has not already given an answer for. He's ahead of you. He's decades ahead of you. He's centuries ahead of you. He knows exactly where you're going to be and what you're going to do and what you need to get through it. But do you have the faith to recognize it? That tree was there the whole time. Not one of the Israelites said, "Hey, Moses, I see that this here water's bitter. You think we could cut down that there tree and put it in the water maybe? Might sweeten it up a little bit." They didn't bring that up. They just whined and complained and murmured. And God said, "Moses, cut that tree down. Watch that tree fall over in the water. You could drink it now. It's good to go." But the Israelites didn't have that. The tree didn't pop up from nowhere. The tree was already there. But they didn't recognize it until the Lord got involved. What things are you missing? Because he has it there, but we're not recognizing it. In conclusion, at Marah, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord your healer. It said there in verse 26 at the end, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." That Jehovah Rapha is Lord the healer. If Israel didn't face this bitter time, they would have never grown to know God's character. If Israel didn't face this bitter time, they would have never seen God act in the way he did. Just like Job would have never known. Job wouldn't have known how good God is had he not faced his trial. Had Lazarus not been dead, they would have never seen the miracle of Jesus raising him from the dead. Had the one man not been blind, he would have never been able to been healed from being blind. Had the deaf man had ears from original, he would have never been seen the miracle that God gave him to hear. It takes a trial. When God allows trials, he doesn't do something to us. He's doing something for us. God is not doing something to us. He is doing something for us. He has already planted the tree. He didn't just think of it. Remember the phrase, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God?" He knew exactly where you would be, exactly when you would be there, and exactly what it took to get you out of it. He already knows. He's just waiting for your faith. He's just waiting for your faith. God is solely trying to get us to live with, live for, and live unto him. That's all he's trying to do. In everything in which we face, in the entire life in which we live, God is trying to get us to live with him, live for him, and live unto him. That's all. You can skip a lot of trials in your life if you just simply decide to live with him, live for him, and live unto him. What is your purpose for living tomorrow? Changes everything. What is the purpose in which you're going to work tomorrow? Is it to pay the bills? Or is it to be blessed by God? Big difference. That's all he's trying to do, is to get us to live for him, with him, and unto him. So, are you bitter at something today? Is there anything in your life that you're bitter about? Did somebody let you down? Did somebody disappoint you? Did you lose respect for someone? Did somebody hurt you physically? Did somebody hurt you mentally or spiritually? Understood, but where is your faith today? Is your faith in that job? Is your faith in that person? Is your faith in your finances? Is your faith in your spouse? Is your faith in your kids? Is your faith in your grandkids? Is your faith in the nice house you live in? Is the faith in the nice car you drive in? Well, every single one of those things is going to harbor your bitterness, not help it. But when you live for God, changes everything.
Amen.
Let's stand, please. I appreciate your patience. I thank you for your time. Are you bitter at something today? Maybe you're not, but maybe you do know somebody that is. Where is your faith today? Where is your faith today?